Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the UAW Factory Whistle Show for January the 6th, the first show of the year of 2019. We will be going to 8 o'clock tonight, 1 hour. And Scott, it is all yours. Happy New Year to you, by the way. I see Marty's in the switchboard. The rest of the people, I don't know who you are, but if you want to say anything, push 1 on your keypad. Scott, keep about every 15 minutes, remind people to push 1 on their keypad, please.
Gotcha. So if you want to talk, please press 1.
Let me get Marty on.
Marty?
Hold on, let me get Marty on. Marty, you're on. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year, Don. Happy New Year, Scott.
Nice to hear your voice.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. What have you been doing over there, Scott?
I got my tongue wrapped around my eye tooth so I could see what
Never
I was
mind.
Saying.
Never
Happy
mind.
New Year.
It's all you do. I'll watch the switchboard. Bye.
Well, I guess, we're looking at 2019. Looks like it's going to be an interesting year if you pay attention to all the news. Did you hear that Mark Royce was elevated in his position? Were you aware of that?
I did see that. He's the president now? Is that what his title is going to be?
Yeah. He is the president for electric and driverless future.
So if
that's the case, if I remember right, he was a vice president when they brought out the EV1, and he told all these people and all the reporters the car was going to be, I believe, 90% recyclable and, yada, yada, yada. And they took him out to Arizona and they chopped them all up. I've said this a long time. I've said this many times, and other people on the show said the same thing. He had the perfect, not the perfect, but you had an all-electric vehicle once that people wanted, and you killed it. So, history repeats itself, right?
Scott, let me get John on. John, you're on. Happy New Year.
Hey, guys.
Happy New Year, John.
How you doing tonight?
Not bad. Not bad. And you?
Not too bad. They're really not that environmentally friendly because they have to be burning a lot more fossil fuels to supply the electricity to charge them.
Right. There's a catch-22. I have a family member that was working with the nuclear energy, and they believe that that'd be a better way to go with nuclear energy than with traditional energy sources. And as of what happened, I guess they're closing her facility and a few others, as we know. I'm with you. I mean, you still got to have electricity to charge these cars until we get to, hydrogen technology, get the tax break, I guess. I don't know.
That would probably be the way to go is hydrogen. That's the cleanest burning and probably most efficient burning fuel for vehicles.
Right. So I don't know. All I know is, you got Mark Royce now, president. I don't know. I mean, he's been with General Motors a long time, his dad was with a GM president. I think he's been, in fact, I don't think he's ever left General Motors. I think he's been there the whole time. So we'll see how this works out. I know he's been talking with Mary Barra and that they are intensifying their focus on electrified vehicles. GM is pushing to release 20 zero emission vehicles by 2023, which is 4 years away from now. So, I don't know. You know, and at the same time, you've got the push for electric vehicles. We're losing Hamtramck that made the Volt. And I believe they were the the overrun for the Impala also?
I think it was.
Did they know?
Hamtramck, yeah.
I think they was the overflow for the Impala, which we know they're going to be killing. It's interesting. So, while we've been off this last couple of weeks, what have you guys been hearing?
You know, I've heard all about this. Well, the biggest news I've heard, Scott, was the lawsuit that, with the folks at Lordstown with the temps and the people that's out of a job and wanting to transfer, and they got that conflict. That was the biggest news that I heard in the last week or so.
Right. Right. I don't know why they're suing. I mean, there are definitely, I would think as our viewpoint, there are more favorable things to do to address the situation that would probably make your voice heard a lot louder. And I guess, yes, I'm referring to a strike, a national strike, not a localized strike, not these little surgical strikes. Talking a national strike.
I agree.
Just my opinion.
I agree.
Just my opinion. You violated a national contract, then we'll do a national strike. Just saying. But we know our president that we have now probably doesn't have that mustard in a sandwich. Just saying.
You know, I'm not going to try to play the devil's advocate here, but has there really been a violation? I mean, because those temps I heard was hired with open ends. You know, they didn't have any date that they was promised anything. I think that's
no. I'm not talking about the temps. I'm talking about the plant closure. Negotiated in the non-published letters of the back of the white pages. I don't believe Lordstown was earmarked to close. I don't think Hamtramck was earmarked to close. It's not our fault that they made vehicles that people didn't want to buy. Excuse me. It's not our fault that the gas prices come down because of whatever the political scene is right now. I don't know. I'm just saying. Gas prices are down. Truck sales are up. SUV sales are up. Larger crossover vehicles. You know, the crossover vehicles, they're selling. Hell, even Buick brought back a station wagon. You know, so.
And that's being brought all the way from Europe to get here.
Yes, I believe that is not being made here. I agree. Which is sad. My wife told me about Ford has canceled to build, I guess, a new plant in Mexico and they're going to expand somewhere here in the States and add 700 jobs. You guys hear anything about that?
I've seen that. Yeah, it's a good thing. That's a good sign. I'm glad Ford took that position.
Well, so am I, you know.
Great advertising, it is. Because General Motors is catching a lot of heat for shipping jobs overseas, and Ford is now saying, "Hey, look, we're the good guys. We're bringing back. We're gonna create jobs here instead of overseas." I think they're looking to grab some market share back since they've been losing market share. So that was a smart move on their part.
I think so, yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, as far as General Motors goes, I mean, you've got the trucks, the new trucks, these seem to be a hit. I'm sure when they finally roll out, they've done the advertising for a lot of the new HD trucks. I think that when them finally roll out, I think those are going to be a big hit. You got the robot cars. You're going to spend over $1 billion this year in self-driving cars. They've made investment deals with Honda and SoftBank to help fund the vehicles. So they're going to start, I don't know if you guys heard, a food delivery system. You guys heard any of that?
No, I haven't heard that.
Right. They have partnered up with somebody for, I can't remember what the article, I saw it, I read part of it. They are partnering up with somebody to use the autonomous vehicles for delivering ordered food. And of course, minimal marketplaces. So they're going to start this out. But they're doing. I know that they're fighting. General Motors is fighting with Ford and with Chrysler right now for talent, for the top tech talent. You know, because of the way the industry is going. So I know that's one of the things that's going on. You got some stuff going on in Silicon Valley, which we would expect to be happening because, as we know, they're bringing more stuff back to Silicon Valley from out of the country. I don't know. There's Cadillac is leaving from New York. They're coming back to Michigan. That's going to save some money, I imagine. You got the salary buyouts coming up. That's going to be, I believe, the 15th, 9 more days. These people will get their, their travel papers, their pink slip, their layoff notice. They had 54,000 salaried GM employees, and the offer for the buyouts went up to 17,700 people with 12 years or more. They said even the global executives were eligible. What they've gotten was they wanted 8,000 jobs, and they've gotten 2,250 takers. So that means involuntary, thousands of involuntary job cuts after the first year, which is it's now. And I was talking to a fellow that I know that works down at the Milford Proving Ground. In his group, he's now the oldest person. And I asked him, I said, are you safe? He says, I don't know. He says, nobody knows. Nobody's talking to anybody about this. So I asked him if it's going to be like another Black Tuesday. And do you guys remember what Black Tuesday was?
That was back during Reagan, wasn't it?
No, the Black Tuesday for General Motors was when people were coming to work at the Milford Proving Grounds. Most of them were driving their factory vehicle. You know, because a lot of them, they test vehicles. They have, they're testing them as they're driving them. They rolled into work, parked their vehicle, walked into the foyer, were handed the box of their office stuff, their personal belongings, told them the severance check was issued. Walk out there, there's a taxi cab out there that will take you where we need to go. Nice knowing you. Don't want to be a see you. And that's how they treated their own people.
Black Tuesday. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, they loathe up. That was the famous GM Black Tuesday. Just a heartless
fight. I lost a supervisor on Black Tuesday.
You did?
Wow.
Yeah, I sure did.
Wow.
Come and tapped her on her shoulder and escorted her out during shift.
It's crazy. There's just a lot of things going on, you know, this year. You know, we're heading into a contract year. I've listened to people talk about this with the hand panic at the Lordstown. It's being a bargaining chip. And I would hope that the leadership we have would not allow that to be a bargaining chip. You know, it's not very happy about that. And now I'm hearing also that the bargaining convention that's going to start in March is going to be in Orlando, Florida. Anybody else hear that?
Yeah. Mark, what's those dates? It's around the 13th of March, something like that. But yeah, it's coming up here in a few months.
Why are we going to Orlando, Florida? Why don't we just save the membership the money and stay right here in Detroit?
Well, they got to.
I guess it's just.
It's got to be business as usual. They've got to be wasting our money, as always. Otherwise, it'll look bad for the investigation.
Well, would that also think that maybe we're going to have trips to Disneyland and Busch Gardens and, you know, wine and dine the boys and girls down there? Is that it?
Yeah.
And like
yeah,
what happened with Chrysler. You know?
We got a lot of people in the switchboard. If you'd like to get on, push one on your keypad. At 7:45, we will not be getting calls because you can listen, but 15 minutes doesn't give us a long time to for our men to answer your questions. So if you want to get in now.
Yeah, right. That Orlando, that's they're gonna soak up all that sunshine there. It's gonna be right at the end of the winter time and stuff. Yeah, that's gonna be a feel good thing right there immediately. That you're in Florida, and yeah, it's one of those. Let's butter it up here, and we, you know, just go back and repeat to everybody that at your local that we know what we're gonna do this time. We've got real strategies, and our tactics are right on, and we're here for the members when you know it's. It's like John said, it's business as usual. You know, we're down there, you know, just wasting money. You know, it should be done right there in Detroit.
Well, I'm sure that they're going to try to use the excuse, you know, that they don't want to do it here because they want to seal the leaks. They don't want tactics or their strategies revealed and leaked out. So that's why they're probably saying that they'll probably use that excuse to justify going down to Florida.
Right.
You know, I know I talked to you, didn't I, JJ, about this contract stuff and what we were talking about, but Do you really believe that they've got stuff that their tactics are really secret? I mean, do they really have some kind of bombshell tactic that they're worried that might get exposed here, that it's going to cause them some loss in leverage when it comes to collective bargaining? That's a laugher to me.
Well, they don't want their sellout tactics revealed to us and get us all in an uproar. They're trying to bring us all together so that we can accept their sellout contracts.
Yeah, that sounds more likely for sure.
Right.
But, you know, many of us, you know, I've got a pretty good memory, and I'm not going to forget that, well, not necessarily for General Motors or Ford, but I'm not going to forget the fact that for Chrysler, in our highlights, they don't put all the changes to the contract in our highlights. I'm not going to forget the fact that they threatened and promised us that if we don't do it, we'll lose jobs. If we do it now, we'll give it back to us later when things are good.
Right.
I'm not going to forget the fact that in 2007, they put information in the highlights that never wound up in the contract, like the temp language, limiting the number of temps, that was a big determining factor in that passing, was
yep.
that language. And so we were misled. I'm not going to forget the fact that for the last 10 years, particularly for Chrysler, it has been year over year record profits.
Yep.
And I'm definitely not going to forget the sacrifices and the fight that the teachers, the 20,000 teachers that came together in solidarity to fight for better and won. I won't forget about the hotel workers that fought and won, or the steel workers that came together and fought and won.
Right on.
So I just hope that our brethren have long-term memories and remember these things and are willing to stand together in solidarity and fight and win.
Well said, Don. And I know what you was working on that you talked to me about a little bit. It is going to be a great tool to not only get people to remember those and not forget that, but prepare them for what they're going to get look forward to with this contract coming up. And I like what you told me about, and I can't wait till you get a real final product with that. That's going to be great. That's going to be good stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, and I tried to get a hold of Scott on Messenger, but he hasn't seen my message yet. But
I apologize.
No, that's all right. I just wanted to get your email. I wanted to send you a copy of the PowerPoint that I've been working on for this upcoming contract to inform our members of some historical
right.
facts and things like that. I've sent it to Jim already, and I sent it to Marty. Right now it's just in very, very rough draft. It definitely needs some fine-tuning, and because this is about us and for all of us, I look forward to and would appreciate any and all input into making this the best presentation that we can make to present to our members so that we can all hopefully be on the same page and stand together in solidarity.
Yeah, looking forward
right,
to it.
Right, and then we'll roll that out. Basically using social media, right?
Yeah, social media. I'm also going to look into taking my own time. I'll find a printer and I'll print out several copies, and I'll go to some of the locals that I can reach or even some of the other plants and start handing it out, get some copies in people's hands as well, at least in the Detroit area anyway.
Right.
But yeah, you use any and all means to spread this as much as we can. I mean, we definitely, the more people know and the more that they know the truth, especially one of the slides that I made, actually there's two slides that cover it, your money, bonuses versus pay raises. And it's got some detailed explanation in there as to three main points of bonuses versus pay raises, the pros and cons, And then I've got a graph in there to show, because sometimes, you know, if you can't visually see it, some people don't grasp it unless they see it, right?
Right.
So I show a graph of a visual representation of the difference in potential earnings of a pay raise versus bonuses. And pay rate, annual pay increases are substantially, especially towards the end of the contract, substantially greater than bonuses.
Right.
You could potentially wind up, depending on how much overtime that you choose to work or are forced to work in either case, you could make anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000 more with pay raises, which is, that's almost paying for another brand new car cash,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
So it's information like that that I want to share with the members, so that they're told the truth, and that one of the things that I was working on a little bit earlier, you know, because like I said, it's a work in progress. It's a rough draft. Mainly the biggest thing that I want to do is to remind the membership that they are the ultimate power. We are the ultimate power in the UAW.
Right.
And
we're the voice.
Right. So we can pass these or we can turn them down. That's our right, regardless of what sellout Cindy or any other international executive board member says about a contract. It's our right to vote how we see fit. And
right.
If we don't want sellouts anymore, because they've continued to lie to us over the years, history has proven to us that through all the concessions that we've given and the threats that we've taken and the promises given about, oh, if we just do this, then this will happen or this won't happen, it's a lie, because the company has still turned around and screwed us when we've been over backwards. And it's time for the company to start bending over backwards, because we're the ones that make the cars. They can't do it without us.
That's right.
One of the interesting things that I was reading in one of the articles that was talking about last year, the strikes for the teachers and the hotel workers and steel workers, there was a thing in the article that some labor experts apparently are saying that the recent surge in solidarity and in strikes could catapult or create an omen to bring upon a new wave of labor activism, and more and more workers see that solidarity and collective action works, set off a new wave of labor movement and activism in this country, which would be a beautiful thing.
Right.
And it would be wonderful if we could help lead that way as well.
Yeah, I agree. People don't really understand that America was built on the back of labor. You know, if you look to the borders at the south and the north, if you look at the longshoremen, East Coast, West Coast. You look at the rail and the aviation. These are all unionized people who make this country flow. And I think people have lost sight of that, that organized labor is an intricate part of our life, whether you like it or not, let alone the supporting jobs that are fueled off of us having, and a lot of times, a better pay wage than non-unionized workers. Sometimes we know that by having organized labor, it does force different manufacturers to offer a better wage because they want to keep a union out. Look at like Toyota, Honda. I don't know what's going on with Volkswagen now. Volkswagen was not bad. I believe their starting wage was $21 an hour, I believe. But in light of what's happened in the last 4 years, because of a very poorly negotiated and surprisingly passed national contract, you've given, I would dare say, 50% of power right back to the corporations by having these bad national contracts. That's my opinion, but I'm thinking I'm probably not too far off base on that. What do you think?
Yes, you talk about whipsaws. I would say that there's other places like right now. I mean, I've been kind of following along with Navistar with their contract negotiations and such, and they're in the right in the middle of that. And these are, the run up, like the, I don't know, I won't call them the JV team, but what precedents they set pretty much kind of steers what happens with ours.
Right.
And right now, Navistar has a lot of leverage. I mean, they've partnered up with Volkswagen, and they've got a lot of great things that they're doing. And right now, big trucks are in high demand, and they couldn't get enough people to go to work in Springfield, Ohio, to try to keep their lines running off finished trucks at the end of the day. And they have all the leverage, and how they go about negotiations and ratifying their contract, I think, is the president's setting event for which way the Detroit 3 is going to be handled. And it's not just them. I'm thinking there's Lear that's got theirs going on and some others.
Right. They tried. Wasn't there, you said Lear. Wasn't there a Lear down in Indiana that they tried for 3 times to pass a terrible contract or sell a terrible contract to the employees and they voted it down?
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't that Kokomo or somewhere?
Hammond. I think it was Hammond? Hammond, Indiana?
Okay, yeah. I think you're right. I think you're right.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, we're...
Go ahead.
Going to get hit with the whipsaw. You know, I think like you said, I mean, there is maybe half, like you said, are just bad. You know, they're just push through, and the company's happy and the union got to, do what they do, It's not been good, but I like to hold hope out for this new executive board. You know, there's a few people on that I'm not fans of, but there's a couple on there that I think that are going to be good. I don't know how long, by age, I think that the one that General Motors and Terry did is, I don't know how long he'll be able to serve on the executive board, but I think he's very good. Of course, the Secretary Treasurer really
He's not involved with this much with the title being Secretary Treasurer, but he seems younger, and I haven't heard anything bad about him. But you know, I've got an issue with Roy Gamble and his nepotism thing. Although that's Mr. Detroit, everybody in Detroit loves him. Some Roy Gamble. I'm not, you know, he doesn't really impress me. And then sell out Cindy, you know, and then paper push and money man Gary. I just, you know, I mean, I'd like to think, okay, well, these guys got to be under a magnifying glass that you could see the next galaxy from. I mean, you either do something for membership now, or you might really face a lot of yellow vest, France behaving, crazy laborers that's really had enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know, this last week, you know, within the last week, you know, the UAW was suing Gentleman Motors because it failed to transfer laid off Lordstown workers, and it dealt with the temporary workers at Lordstown, like you said. There are a few things around there. You know, you need to go back to paragraph 8, okay, and understand how this is set up through paragraph 8, too, because unless you have contractual language, and I don't see any contractual language that would abrogate paragraph 8 for the General Motors National Agreement, you know, they've kind of got the right to do whatever they want to do with their business. And like I said, I think this lawsuit is frivolous. It's a sad, weak attempt in our leadership to try to show that they're willing to stand up for the membership. I think in the spirit of Walter Reuther, like I said, in my opinion, a national strike would probably get more attention and probably get things resolved a lot quicker. Just my opinion again.
Yeah, I agree.
100%. You know, I mean, it's sad. And when I said 50% of power back to corporations, I mean there are two key points to that power that I said that we have relinquished, not we, our leadership through faulty contracts have relinquished back to corporations, is the tier language. Tier 2, they call in progression now, and then what we refer to as Tier 3, 4, and 5. Short-term temporary, long-term temporary, and my favorite, the permanent temporary. When you allow corporations to have that kind of power, there's no necessity to hire anybody to do it. And of course they're going to fight transferring people from different locations, whether it better or worsens their life as a worker. They don't care. Doesn't the UAW don't really care much about that either. But the obstacle is, there's no necessity for them to hire anybody. You're giving them the contractual language, they can hire permanent temporary.
Yeah.
You know, and coupled with coming on what's happening with more robots, less traditional jobs being offered, if there are traditional jobs being offered, of course they want to fill them with temporary workers. I would think contractually you've got a right, because the area hire language stretches out to regional area hire. We're supposed to be getting some people from Lordstown in our facility. And as a GM Gypsy, I can tell you it's no fun. I understand. No, some of these people have over 20 years. Maybe some of them have close to 30. They'd like to get to that benchmark era and then have the opportunity to decide whether they want to retire or keep going forward or move their whole family and start their whole life over. You know, it's...
Oh, yeah, I know. Been there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, that's what I'm talking about. It's hard to get moved. Pull your whole family, sell your house that you've been at for so long with your friends and your family around you, and your life, your kids' life, and their school, and their friends, and the community involvement that you might have, the sports teams, you know, and then to have to uproot everybody to move. Because in this day and age, I don't know about you, but I don't think I could maintain two households at this time. You know?
Oh, I definitely couldn't.
Right. It's a lot to swallow. You know, and as we talk about the UAW right now and wanting to sue General Motors, which I don't think, and this is my opinion, that the UAW is going to do well in this lawsuit. I think they're going to fail. I would be surprised if they didn't, but I'm just
Well, sure. Every branch of our government supports big business. They don't support labor. Not anymore.
No.
The highest
bidder. You're right.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, history's proven that the only way that we ever win is by standing up and fighting together. Because we outnumber.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
General Motors is under, or not General Motors, but UAW is under fire again right now because not only did Dennis Williams decide to have a cabin built that is supposedly belongs to Black Lake Convention Center, but he'll stay there a lot. Is when this come out that they showed that the UAW owes $61 million in back taxes. And they showed that Black Lake lost $2.1 or $2.3 million in 2017 alone. I don't know if you guys heard anything about that.
I did read that.
Okay. I don't see that actually turning around either. Do you, John?
Not with their business plan and how they run Black Lake and how they waste our dues dollars. The people that we have now running the show are a bunch of morons, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think it's a destination for celebrities to go honeymoon, because the last ones that did it was Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz, if I'm mistaken, and that's been some time ago. They've got a golf course up there that they used to be private, but they opened it up to the public. But you have to put so much money out to maintain a championship golf course. Are enough people actually going out there and golfing to be able to keep that up? I don't know, but there's a whole lot more out there than just the golf course. Nobody's staying at their motels and, you know, their places there. I mean, those things in the conference rooms and stuff, but I don't think they're being utilized right, or they wouldn't be losing so much money.
Right. Right. Well, you know, I mean, I was kind of hoping that this federal investigation would be a little more in-depth, a little more thorough, and a little more expeditious. Because like I said, if one's guilty, in my opinion, they're all guilty. We know that just because of the time frame, that Dennis Williams was aware of this. I mean, he told him, he admitted he told him to spend some money. How come, you know, Dennis Williams hasn't had a tap on his shoulder yet? Other vice presidents at that time should all be thoroughly investigated because of their involvement. And let alone the money that was questioned as far as the donors into the, with the little, I call them a slush fund on the side, but they were, I can't think of what they're called.
The charities?
The charities, thank you. The charities.
Signature charities.
There you go. You know, Cindy had three of them. two of them were in her executive administrator aide's name. One was in her name. Dennis Williams had one. Jimmy Settles had one that was valued at well over $2.1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Norwood was closing on $1 million, but now Norwood's under the magnifying glass. So, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with that. But, you know, this gives us, the members, a black eye when our leaders get caught doing something, and when the public eye sees that nothing's really happening to these people, and then a few people getting slapped on the wrist, and some people have to do some jail time, a minimal jail time, knowing that it had been like you or I, you know, John and Marty or Don, we'd be going to prison for years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, we would.
You know?
Yep.
So, I don't know. I think this whole thing is being quietly forgotten.
And I hope that's not.
I hope it stopped being quietly forgotten, and I hope with what John's trying to do, I hope people quietly don't forget how much money you've lost since the 2007 national contract, and that's everybody in the big three.
Yeah, because we lost COLA out of our paychecks. We didn't lose COLA, thanks to Dick Danjan. We know that
right.
It's been re-diverted to the VEBA, but it was still taken out of our checks. So that's $2 to $3 an hour that we have never gotten back. So we're still making
right.
$2 to $3 an hour less than what we did prior to the 2009 agreement.
Right, when they opened up our contract after the bankruptcy.
Right, yep. So, yeah. and I know that there's some people that try to say, and this is what kills me, oh, but last contract we gained. Because the we have in progression instead of tier two. That's not a gain. That was not a gain. That was an appeasement, if at best, to get the contract passed. That was not a gain because we are still behind where we were, you know, 10 years ago, 11 years ago.
Absolutely.
So, to me, a true gain is better than what we had. So,
right.
Therefore, it's not a gain. People need to understand that, and that's one thing I do have in the presentation, pointing out that fact, that it is not a gain. Don't
right.
let people try to trick you or make you think that, oh, we're working our way back. No. It's going to take
yeah, you're
some
right.
hard fighting. It's going to take some hard fighting and some true solidarity to get back what we, to just to break even from what we lost.
Yeah, that would look good in your PowerPoint,
right.
John. Talk about how you know that was, you know that definitely isn't like you said. That's not a gain from 2009. That's an appeasement. And that's an appeasement from a total concession that's been going on for over 10 years.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I think I will. I'll expand on that.
Good.
You know, there was things that happened, you know, while you're talking about that, and I mentioned this before, if you remember, when we had to help out, they said to help out the retirees with their health care, we give up a foregone bonus or a raise and a bonus to help the retirees. Do you remember that? We kind of had a little conversation about that. And that was supposed to come back. And that never happened. In fact, that still stays. We gave up... Was it $1? $1 an hour or $1 a week? Was it a percent? 1%? No, it was $1. Because the language that people didn't want to vote, I voted no on it. I told people not to vote on it. I told them to vote no. You know, it was going to help out the retirees in time. I said because there was hidden language in there, but it wasn't hidden. You had to read it. It said that and as soon as you went over 40 hours, they could get an extra quarter an hour. So if he was working overtime, they were getting more than that coming off your check. He didn't have redistribute back to help the funds on the retirees. And it was a ploy. Didn't I think it was a shameful thing to use the retirees as the bait to get that to go. And you know, my dad's a retiree, and he hasn't had any kind of none of the retirees have had a meaningful raise. And
no, and the thing is costs keep going up, and they're on a fixed income. You know, it's not like they can; they're not getting overtime or pay increases, but they're having to pay out more out of their checks every single week, every month. Our retirees they need those cost of living increases.
Absolutely.
And the VEBA, which is overseen by the union, it's ran by an outside entity. They have a board of members, a member of the boards there. There's a trustee. There's an administrator, which gets paid millions of dollars a year. And each one has their own board members. Like I said, it's a real deep thing. You have to slice and dice. But what happens is the VEBA itself is reflecting higher costs. And we all know that insurance, healthcare, is going to continue to decline. And what they do is they reflect that back on the retirees. And, hell, even Don can tell you, he gets updated frequently of the prescriptions that are no longer covered. And when you're in a position where you need a particular prescription and you go and it's no longer covered, and they say, well, you'll have to use the generic brand. So when you go to your doctor and talk about this, the doctor will tell you that, yes, this could work, or no, the generic brand isn't going to work. Hmm. And that seems to be a problem. And like I said, the cost of healthcare is going up, and like I said, they get rolled back over to the retirees.
And we're being gouged.
Budget, yes,
we're being gouged, plain and simple. And the thing is that you know, they say capitalism is so great, but we don't have true capitalism anymore. We have monopolies because the majority of these insurance companies, we have people that sit on multiple boards on, you know, different insurance companies, and they're basically working together and they set the prices. It's not like you can go shopping around for a better deal because they're all working together. Because there's only, what, 3, 4, 5 major ones in the country, and they sit on each other's boards and basically set national prices together.
Yeah,
sure.
And we're being gouged.
You have to add on to that so people understand. All these large pharmaceutical companies donate
they
to
do the same.
Republican and Democratic parties. You can say that the pharmaceuticals are purple because of their interest. They have to pay both sides.
But the same thing's going on there. We have 3 drug companies, 2 big ones, and you've got people that sit on it on the board on all 3 companies. Not all of them sit on they're not all the same board for all 3 companies, but there are certain individuals that sit on the board of multiple companies, and and that's why I don't get why we keep voting Democrat and Republican to begin with, because they're both screwing us. They're not taking a stand. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was the last politician that we had that took a stand against these monopolies.
Right.
And it hasn't been done since. And basically the insurance companies, the drug companies, they're monopolies, and we're being gouged, and we're getting pay cuts because of it. Or they want to cut. They want to cut our benefits so that they can pocket more money for themselves, which is crap. They don't care about health, the health of the country or the health of the people. All they care about is filling their pockets.
That's right.
Right. And we got 3 minutes to go. Our next show will be not next week, but the week after that, unless something happens. Which would be the 20th, I believe.
The 20th?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Unless anybody wants to do, if you want to do a show, John, next week to talk about your plan, you just let me know.
I won't have it all ready then, but like I said, I want some feedback and I'll send some updates that I've made to you guys so that you can see updates that I've made. I want to take our time. I want to do this right for the members. I want to make sure that that they're aware of all of their rights, their power, history. I don't want to make it too long, but there needs to be enough meat and potatoes in there where we know what our rights are and our powers and get honest information and that will touch and reach as many people as we possibly can.
I think it's going to be a good educational tool. I really do.
Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah. Hope so. That's the intent.
Yes, I agree.
Well,
go ahead, Marty. Scott, are you talking? All right.
Go ahead, Marty.
I think Scott was getting ready to sign us out here.
Oh, okay.
Well, you got about a minute. I was going to say, it was the last time we had a so-called monopoly. Don can remember this very well. They broke up Ma Bell. And that didn't really help us out much, did it?
Oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot about that one. Yeah, you're right. I do remember that.
They broke up.
That was in the early 80s.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
There's a lot of politics involved around that. A lot.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks, guys.
Well, thank you, John.
Appreciate your time and helping me with the presentation. Your input is definitely, definitely appreciated and very, very valued.
Thank you.
I will get back with you, John.
All right,
and anybody
guys.
Else listening to the show, if they have any ideas or want to see anything in there, please contact the show, send any ideas or suggestions. I'd love to hear from everybody.
There you go. All right. On behalf of John, Marty, and Big Scott over there, thank you for listening, the UAW Whistle Show. We'll see you January 20th. Unless something happens, of course. Good night, everybody.
Good night.